The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And those who believe truth, those who believe in the principles of God, those who believe anything that is principled and strong and sound enough to be a foundation to hold the future of freedom and life, is under assault. It's being continually, without ceasing, attacked.
James and Betty say it's time to come together, return to God, and stand firm on the foundation of His Word next.
Well, I want to welcome you to life today. Betty and I are honored to spend this time with you. I've got to go be very honest with you right up front. Betty and I are both 80 years old. She says, you don't have to tell them I'm the same as you. They can't tell.
That's okay.
I've had an 80-year journey, a miracle start because my mother was raped and tried to have me aborted. Okay, you know that. But here I am. But I've never had such a heavy heart, and yet at the same time a very hopeful heart, because I'm seeing the darkest acts and practices and moves against light in all these 80 years on this earth. But I'm also, and for many of you it's hidden, but because I'm in the midst of lifting Jesus up to so many different people who are high impact leaders, pastors, business, national, every area, I'm seeing a change in these people, Betty. Mm-hmm. And you've seen it in a lot of people you wouldn't expect. It's a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
But the horrors of what we see, you know, I can't be gone for a while and come back in the house and you not have to comment on something else that has broken your heart, correct?
It's just constant, James, what's happening. Something, you'll hear small good reports. You hear mostly the bad on television. And you have to really say, God, what is going on here? It's kind of, like you said, a hopeless feeling, but also hopeful at the same time, because we know who can correct all of this.
Well, we know He's anxious to correct it. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to just really hang with me. All this week, I'm going to start with one of my favorite prophets, a minor prophet, Joel. I love these guys, just like I love Jeremiah, I love Isaiah. I look at Joel because he really faced a situation a little bit like a major COVID, but it had to do with infection of insects, of locusts and other critters that destroy. And they were really hit hard. And it's amazing what God communicated with this prophet, that he went ahead and communicated with the people. And you can see that in the midst of what was destruction and death and the loss of everything that mattered, the very essence of even the ability to stay alive, to be nourished, to eat, to feed even wildlife, a sheep or any person that you cared about. It was just all threatened. Everything was threatened with a total wipeout. And yet God offers hope. I want you just to listen and look and see the similarities of what we're facing. And the thing that I more than anything want people to hear all this week is there is a hope set before us in the Lord to where His vision and His dream that He desires to be fulfilled, and think about this now, can only be fulfilled through His family. If you want to say the church, then you say the body of the Christ who revealed the Father's will being done on earth in undeniable manifestation and power and demonstration, transforming power. So that's what's available, but it has to flow through the body of Christ. It has to, Betty, come through the family of the perfect Father. So the real hope for the future rests on the shoulders of those of us who have been born from above in the Spirit and who have a relationship with God as a member of His body, as a member of His family, to reveal to the world the Father's will. And that's what we're here to do. Now, here's the wipeout. And Joel starts talking about it. I want you to look how similar it is. Listen to what he says in Joel chapter 1. A nation has invaded my land, mighty without number, the teeth of the teeth of a lion, the fangs of a lioness. It has made my vine waste, my fig tree splinters. It has stripped them bare and cast them away. The branches have become white, like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the bridegroom of her youth. The grain offering and the libation are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn, the ministers of the Lord. The field is ruined, the land mourns, the grain is ruined. The new wine dries up, fresh oil fails. Everything is gone. Gird yourselves, God says, with sackcloth. Lament, priests. Weep, wail, ministers of the altar. Come spend the night in sackcloth, ministers of my God. For the grain offering and the libation are withheld from the house of your God. Everything is lost. It's dismal. Consecrate a fast. Proclaim a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord and cry out for the day. For the day of the Lord is near, and it will come as destruction from the Almighty. This is judgment. This is judgment because people have walked away from God, and they made the land and their lives vulnerable to the enemy. And he is prevailing in our land. You can see it. It's real. You don't have to try to put a name or a label on it. It's demonic activity, and we are paying a price for it. And those who believe truth, those who believe in the principles of God, those who believe anything that is principled and strong and sound enough to be a foundation to hold the future of freedom and life, is under assault. It's being continually, without ceasing, attacked. So, here we are. The seeds shrivel under their clods. The storehouses are desolate. The barns are torn down. The grain is dried up. The beasts groan. The cattle wander aimlessly because there's no pasture. In other words, everything is in trouble. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about it being a judgment army that's come. And it's the day of the Lord, meaning the day of judgment. There's going to be the day of the Lord when his power and manifestation is poured out in the last day when all evil is totally destroyed and only righteousness prevails. But we do not, as the righteous and the children of God, we do not have to allow the enemy to prevail. We don't have to do that. We can absolutely say no to what he wills to do and what he's attempting to do. We can put a stop to it by putting our foot down and taking a stand. But here is the way the enemy operates. There's a great, mighty people, never been anything like it, won't ever be anything like it again, but that has repeated, that cycle has repeated. A fire consumes before them, and behind them flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden in front of them, but it's a desolate wilderness behind them. I mean, it's terrible. They come like war horses. Before them, the people are in anguish, and all faces turn pale. They run like mighty men. They climb on the wall like soldiers. This is the enemy. And look how they come. They march in line. They don't deviate from their paths. The enemy works together in a unity that's supernatural, demonically supernatural. And God is asking us to move in that unity. Jesus prayed for us to have supernatural unity. He wants the family to be one with one another and with the Father. So what does God say through his prophet to us, Betty? He says, return to me. Return to me is a very simple phrase for repent. Turn from the way you've been going. Turn from what you're submitting to. Turn away from what you're being deceived by. Listen to God's invitation very directly to his family. Return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart, not your garments. Don't just look like you're repenting. Rend your heart. Return to the Lord. He is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, relenting of evil. Who knows whether or not he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, even a grain offering. For the Lord your God, blow a trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing infants, let the bridegroom come out of the room, the bride out of her bridal chamber, let everybody come whoever they are, wherever they are. Let the priests and the Lord's ministers weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare the people, Lord. Do not make thine inheritance a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they among the people say, where is their God? Let's show them God. And God says, I'm going to have pity. I'm going to answer. And I'm going to send you a grain and new wine and oil, and you'll be satisfied in full. I will remove the northern army from you. I will drive it to a parched land. I will drive out the enemy and his effects. Do not fear, O land. Rejoice and be glad, for God has done great things. Do not fear the beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness have turned green. The tree has borne its fruit, and the fig tree and the vine have yielded in full. So rejoice, sons of Zion, and be glad in the Lord your God, for he has given you an early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you the rain, the early and the latter rain as before, and the threshing floors will be full of grain, and the vats will overflow with the new wine and oil. I will make up to you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, and the creeping locust, and the stripping locust, all of them, the gnawing locust, my great army. I sent this as judgment. I allowed it to come, but I'm driving it out, and I'm going to pour out the former and latter rain. I'm going to give you a blessing that is beyond description. Betty, that is what God wants to do. And we have been talking to leaders from every field, from the national and political field, from the business field, from the church field. God has given me access to the Protestants, evangelicals, to Catholics, to people everywhere, to talk to them about coming together as a family in the presence of the Father and submitting to His will. And Betty, you and I have seen leaders in all these fields come together and love God and love one another in an undeniable fashion. It's been miraculous. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, James. And you know, I'm sitting here thinking as you're listening, and I hope you are listening closely to the message that God has put on James's heart, because it is from God. He didn't think all this up. God's Word is truth, and through His truth comes love and direction and wholeness, and we must fall on our faces. He just read in God's Word. We must cry out. We must weep. You know, James, I've found myself in the recent days just getting up in the mornings, and I weep before the Lord when I see what's happening in our world. I weep for the people that can see, but they're blind. I weep for people that don't know Him. I weep for people that are proud of the lawlessness, that are proud of the sin that they've committed. Their pride is killing their souls. And I pray in God, deliver them. Make them whole. Let them see your truth and your love through your children. That's what we need God to do. Prepare our hearts. And that's what I ask God to do every day. Prepare my heart for what you want to do through this vessel, through all your children. God has put us here for this appointed time, and He doesn't waste time. This is it, and we must follow through with God's truth and His love and show people they can have life eternal.
You see what God has blessed me to live with. It's His presence and His Spirit in this precious girl. She's still a girl to me. I've been married to her 61 years. Been in love with her 65. And she so seeks God. And together we seek God. But here's what you need to know. We're going to spend every day, the rest of our life, seeking to get His arms around the world that He gave His Son to redeem. Getting His church to put their arms around one another, because they've fallen in love with Him with their whole heart. And they not only love Him with their whole heart, but they're learning to love their neighbor as they love themselves. They want the best for others, just like God does. He wants the best for us, but He wants the best for others. And we must want that. and we're able to do it. So Betty and I are going to spend every moment trying to get the church to come together to look like the family of the perfect Father. That's what we're going to do. And we're seeing it happen miraculous before our eyes. I'm watching people be changed and love people that they were taught to never even talk to. So let that happen in your area. Father, I don't know what's going on in the area where the people are that I'm talking to in the particular areas they live, but there needs to be a move that you can see of your love and your power. Help them to pray it down, pray it in. Help them to do exactly what Joel has challenged us to do and what you've called us to do so that we can see the greatest awakening in history. With all my heart, I believe the stage is set. I've said this many times lately. You can see the awfulness of the fruit of the deceiver, the divider, the destroyer. Let's show them the beauty of the fruit of the perfect Father and His love. The whole world is waiting to see that. And when they see it, I believe by the millions and by the billions, they will run to that Father. The last time I talked to you, I said that. I'm going to say it basically every day the rest of my life. The world is waiting to see Him and His family. He is waiting to reveal Himself to and through the family, His body, the church, the family of the perfect Father. God, help every person listening to me to say right now, I yield my part totally to You. I want You to express Your heart through me. I want to put Your hands around those You gave Jesus to save and to change in Jesus' name. We can ask Him to heal our land. He said He wants to make up for the years the locusts have eaten. Betty, we're in a year of choice this year. We need to choose people who understand the principles that freedom must be built on, established on, and stand on. I wrote a book with Jay Richards called Fight the Good Fight. It explains those principles clearly. Please, please do get a copy of it. Anytime you help us do what God's put before us, and you say, James, would you send me that? I'm helping you fulfill what God put on your heart in mission outreach. You just ask. But above all, look at those principles and pray them back in place and put leaders in place that will help put them in place. Betty, you and I have traveled the world putting God's arms around the overlooked and the least of these. And one of the things that our viewers have been more excited about than anything we've ever done, and boy, we've done a lot of exciting things, and we've seen millions of lives saved, and we've seen millions of people come to Jesus. But I don't think people have ever been as excited about anything as just giving a cup of water in Jesus' name. We're not just giving cups of water. Betty, the love of God through our viewers are giving wells of water that changes everything. I want you to listen to the Lord speaking through Randy as he is really literally observing the pain of what unclean water brings forth and the potential hope for clean water and what it'll do for everyone. It is a great, indescribable, healing, life-giving miracle. Not only listen to Randy, but listen to the Father that's speaking to you about being the answer to the prayers and the needs that you see and you can be.
You know, when we come into a place like this, our first reaction as a television crew is to say, don't drink that, you know? But they drank it yesterday, they're gonna drink it tomorrow. They'll drink it for the rest of their lives if they have no other choice. It's contaminated. There's bacteria in there you can't even see. There's creatures that we can see, moss, oily kind of look. This water is death. There's no other way to say it. This water is death. And we know that because we've talked to so many mothers who have lost children. I want you to hear the story of Piscasi, one mother who has faced so much difficulty. And keep in mind, it represents the stories of many mothers across the world who face a similar situation. It means much for you to share your story with me today. My heart is broken, like I know yours is, when you hear Piscasi's story. But I have to tell you that this isn't an isolated story. There are so many mothers who are hurting, who are concerned for their children. We have a solution. The question is, what will we do?
Father, I join Randy in prayer. We need a miracle. They need a miracle. We can provide it. Would you please ask God what He wants you to do? We're going to drill the 350 wells and complete now that total opportunity where we found the locations where they need them, just like what you were looking at. And we'll be able to say, yes, the well is coming. But we need your help because each well averages $4,800. So we're asking you, if you can give a well, do it, please. Father, please help everyone who can do it. If you could give toward a well, $1,200, and pray three people join you, we've got it. So if you can do that, do it. But please remember, $48 gives 10 people basically water the rest of their life. $144 gives 30 people. Whatever you can do, it's life to the people you're giving water to. It's a miracle, and all of those people will come to know that it is because of the water of life, it's Jesus, that that water is coming to them. Would you please right now, would you just get up and go get your bank card and use it like a check? Please call the number where people are calling always every day for prayer and for help, many to give their life to Christ. But would you call that number? Take that bank card, make the best gift you can, or go online and make the gift. Could you give a well, a part of a well? Could you give water to 10, to 30? We have some beautiful gifts, beautiful devotional guide to send you. We have the mugs that are so beautiful that I think you'll really, really enjoy with the scriptures on it. And I think that that will be a blessing to you. Please, right now, go to the phone or go online and give the greatest gift. Make a gift of life. Thank you so much for doing it.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of five. Through Mission Water for Life, now in its 25th year, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families. Before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for five children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you the God's Word for My Day devotional set. These four seasonal devotionals each contain a daily reading, an encouraging verse, and a thought to ponder for each day of the year. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the His Word is Life tumbler set. These two 20-ounce stainless steel tumblers, each inscribed with a scripture, will inspire you throughout the day and help keep your drinks well insulated while at home or on the go. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our beautiful bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
These ladies have told us this is their only water source. This sort of river that flows through next to their village here is the only place they can get water from. And I think you might be watching this as a mother and you're saying, how can those mothers give their children that water? I would never give my child water like that. Yeah, you wouldn't, unless that water was the only water that your child could have. Because without water, that child is definitely going to die. And so mothers come down here, they collect contaminated water in the hopes that it will give them the hydration they need, but not take their lives. And yet all too often, that is exactly what happens. But it's so easy for us to change that. You see, if we put a water well here, if we bring Mission Water for Life to this village and we drill a water well, we've got drilling rigs in the area, we have the ability to put water wells in. What we can do is instantly change the condition in this village and save the lives of children that will be contracting waterborne diseases. Stop mothers from having to come down and take dirty, disease-filled water back to their families. So please go to the phone right now, dial that number on your screen and give the best gift that you can give. You give the gift of life, give the gift of water.
Betty, I believe in for a miracle.
Okay.
I sure do love you.
I love you.
Thank you for the way you shared his heart. I know you can see in her, him. Did you know that people can see him in you? Father, let it happen. Let every person listening become a light revealing you that cannot be hidden. In Jesus' name, heal our land. Raise up your family to look like you. Thank you for doing it. Thanks for your help.
Regardless of your net worth, estate planning benefits you and your family before and after death and results in peace of mind. As a free service to our friends and partners, Life Planning Services, a ministry of Life Outreach International, can help with your estate planning needs and chart your financial future. Don't put off this important step to peace of mind through better planning. Contact Life Planning Services today.
Tomorrow, you too can plant seeds in God's fruitful garden.
And you can be a part of bringing hope to this world that's in dire need.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.